You know, loss is one of life's hardest experiences, and the tragedy of 9/11 some 15 years ago really brings that home for us. As was shared earlier in words, the memories of that day are still fresh in our hearts and our souls, almost as if it happened yesterday. Approximately 4,400 people died both during and after the attacks, with over 6,000 injured. 343 firefighters and paramedics were killed. 60 police officers died. There was $2 trillion in stock market loss because of lost company production from what happened. New York City lost billions of dollars. And in 2001, Rudy Giuliani attended 200 funerals. Approximately 6,800 U.S. troops have been killed and 1 million injured in the Afghan and Iraq wars, at a cost of $68 trillion since 2001. So, you know, as we share what we've been sharing here today about 9/11, so many different thoughts come to mind, and the reality comes home to each one of us, even these 15 years later, that loss is devastating. It's devastating to us, and it continues to be devastating even to this day. In fact, loss can be so devastating for us that we can't take our eyes off of it. We're so entranced by it that forever our lives are changed and we can't seem to look at anything else. But what I want to share with all of us here today on the 15th anniversary of 9/11 is simply this. As devastating as the loss has been, and it is, Jesus' comfort can work miracles in our lives. That's what we hear today in Jesus' Beatitudes, where he shares, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I don't know about you, but when I have been mourning or sad or full of tears, I don't feel comforted in any sense of the word. I feel broken, I feel horrible, I feel sad. In fact, a part of me almost resists comfort. But you see, that's part of the promise that Jesus brings to you and me, is that even in the midst of great mourning and great loss, that he can comfort us in a way that nobody else can. In fact, Isaiah spoke the same word about the Messiah 700 years before the birth of Jesus. It's in our Old Testament lesson today in Isaiah 61. And this happens to be the same scripture that when Jesus formally began his ministry, he shared from Isaiah 61. And what this says to me is very simply, Yeshua, Mashiach, comforts and heals those who mourn. It is an intrinsic part of his ministry. It is in his very DNA, part of a very deep part of his being. Jesus is here to comfort us and to heal us, especially those who have experienced loss and mourning. In fact, let me share this with you. There are places that Jesus can go in a person who has experienced loss and is greatly broken that nobody else can go. Only he can go there. Because your loss isn't just physical or mental or emotional. It is tremendously spiritual. We're connected to one another. That's why we feel these things so deeply. It's part of what it means to be a human being. And in those places, Jesus can bring a comfort that is miraculous, that is divine, and that you and I need. So how can you and I, in the midst of this present moment, begin to open our hearts to that kind of comfort? Begin to even entertain the idea of Jesus wrapping his arms around us and bringing a healing and a love to that part of our loss that we have really needed for a long, long time. Well, first of all, I would simply say this, grieve your loss. Cry. Be broken. Go through the denial and the anger and the bargaining and the depression and the acceptance that every human being goes through when they experience a tremendous loss. And again, this loss can be the loss of a loved one or a friend. It could be the loss of a relationship through divorce. It could be a loss of something. Maybe in your life, as you look at it, you seem to just experience loss all the time. And it gets downright depressing. You don't even want to get out of your door or the house in the morning because you're afraid you're going to go through more loss, right? Grieve your losses. Give it time. And don't listen to that person who means well but says to you, "Well, just get over it." or God had greater need of them than you did. These are things that people have actually said. They may mean well, but it is not the right thing to say. What I say to you is give your grief time. Work through that. Don't just get over it. Live into it, as painful and as hard as it might be, and invite the Lord and invite those you trust to walk along with you. Seek caring people that will listen to you and love you through it. You know, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I just need somebody to love on me. And every human being is like that. We just need people in our lives who will love on us at certain moments. We all do need that. Seek those people out. So grieve your loss. The second thing I would encourage all of us to do is cry and laugh our memories. There will be moments of sadness and joy in the midst of your loss. You remember the saying about the first year when somebody has lost a loved one, there's the first anniversary without them, and the first birthday, and the first Christmas, and the first Thanksgiving. Or maybe it was a different time in your life where you lost someone or something and that memory comes to mind for you. I don't know about you, but there are times where I can just be walking along and it's like a wave comes over me. I don't even know where it came from, but it's there, and I just begin to cry. I hope nobody's around watching, but I do. Or I begin to laugh because of a wonderful memory I remember about that person in my life. How beautifully human is that? How wonderful is that? How great is that? You know, the song that we heard at the beginning of our service today, Blessings by Laura Story, so beautifully done. She says in that song, what if our blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst that this world can't satisfy? What if that is true as well? Beloved, I say to you here today, drink this cup slowly, reflectively, healingly. During my time here at St. John's over the past few years, I've been going through some incredible time of healing in my own life. And at the beginning of that season, God spoke to me very clearly exactly what I didn't want to hear. Have you ever had that happen? God says something to you and you didn't want to hear it, but you knew it was God. That's what happened to me. And God said to me very clearly, take time to heal. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. Because we as human beings need time to heal. If somebody breaks their leg and goes into the ER and they get it casted, I wouldn't expect them to run a marathon the next day. In fact, I think they'd be pretty crazy to do that. They need about 8 weeks before that bone will heal. They'll take the cast off, but they really won't be ready to run again until about 6 months out from there. And just as people can be broken physically, we as human beings can be broken spiritually. And we need time to heal. So cry and laugh your memories. Finally, I would say to all of us here today, build a memorial. Build a memorial that connects you with your loss, feelings, thoughts, and Jesus in some way. You may already have that in terms of a place where a loved one is buried. You may have that in your journal where you've written down your different feelings and it's a special place you go back to remember the loss and relive the feelings that you have and you feel so deeply. But whatever you do, don't forget about them and don't forget about yourself because that relationship matters. Build a memorial and embrace that reality. Embrace your feelings and your thoughts and begin to be open to the Jesus who can comfort you like no other, to begin to speak to you there at that place where you remember. You know, the 9/11 memorial was dedicated in May of 2014 in a place of tremendous loss. There are literally millions of people gathering there today as we gather here today to remember that day. It's filled with stories of courage and compassion. It's filled with pictures of people of that faithful day, fragments of building and people's lives, all there for the world to see and to feel. But there is one statement over that building that for me I think will always stay, and it is simply this: no day shall erase you from the memory of time. Amen to that. No day shall erase you from the memory of time. We will always remember you. We will always honor your memory. On this day, we will keep coming back to you and let you know we have not forgotten you. And that is something very precious and beautiful and important for us as human beings to do. And so in closing, I would invite you and I, as we think about the losses of our lives, both people and things and everything that we hold dear, that maybe part of the invitation for you and me is to begin to embrace a different relationship with them. Well, you can no longer touch them. You can no longer share a long walk or dinner. My wife and I were just talking about this the other day in the car. She just said the other day, you know what, I would just love to have some time with my mother. Just love to have some time with her. That ache that never goes away. But honey, I want to say to you here today and everybody else that they're still there like a butterfly floating in the breeze, like in this poem that I'll share with you right now. With closed eyes, I see you among the flowers, high above the clouds. Your presence blows through me with the breeze. Your smile beams down through the sun. The full moon brings the light of your laughter to mind. And the butterfly, in all its splendor, reminds me of your beauty and freedom now, leaving your love lingering in this world. We receive that love. We acknowledge that love. And we give thanks to the comforting Jesus for that love.